Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 11. In the book of Acts, chapter number 11, Acts chapter number 26, and 1 Peter chapter 4, and verse number 16. As you and I read the Bible, and we back up to the book of Acts, chapter number 2, in verse number 47, the Bible says, "The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." You and I know that from that point in the second chapter of Acts, when Peter stood up with 11 and lifted up his voice and said, "You men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known to you and hearken to my words. These men are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day." And he preached that gospel sermon. The Bible said on that day 3,000 people were baptized. With many other words, he testified and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation." And then the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When you and I then go to the book of Acts, chapter number 11, and the Bible tells us the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. When you and I find that that is an identifying term, when you and I read Romans 16:16, and the Bible tells us that the churches of Christ salute you, or we read in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and Paul writes to the church and he refers to it as the church of God at Corinth, then what we are seeing, ladies and gentlemen, is we're seeing an identifying characteristic. And that is that the church is identified when we refer to it as the church of God, then what we recognize is that it is the church that belongs to God. Or, in Romans 16:16, it is the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. And so then when we read in Acts 11:26, and the Bible says that the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, and then when we turn to Acts 26 and verse number 28, and Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And then in 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, the Bible said, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name." Now, all of us are familiar with these passages of Scripture. You and I know that we are Christians. We wear the name of Christ. If you and I were to go back all the way through the New Testament, but especially through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and to see the preeminence of Jesus Christ. For an example, in Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 18 that He is head of the body of the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. When you and I recognize from John chapter number 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with Him. All things were made by Him, and was not anything made that was made." The Bible said in Him was life, and this life was the light of man. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so when we look at the preeminence of Jesus, when you and I look at the manifestation of Jesus as it is contained in the Bible, you can go back to Matthew again, chapter number 1, and the Bible says, "Thou shalt bring forth a child, thou shalt call His name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When we see our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter number 2, as He performs the miracle of turning water into wine. When we read through the book of John, there are 7 specific miracles that John records. But then in John 20, the Bible said, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His apostles," or disciples, "but these are written that you might believe, and that believing you might have life in His name." When you and I read in John chapter 14, and Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." When Jesus makes statements such as, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Or if you go to Matthew chapter 5, and over again, you find Jesus saying, "It hath been said by them of old time, but I say unto you." Put all of those together. And then what you and I recognize, and that is the fact that when we wear the name of Christ as a Christian and we're added to His kingdom, which is the church, then we take on those same characteristics that we see presented to us by the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that presents Christ as being preeminent. So then we ask this question, what does it mean for you and I to be a Christian? Now I want to suggest tonight, very briefly, the advantages that you and I enjoy as being children of God. The advantages that we have of being a Christian. And we simply ask that question, what does it mean for you and I to be a Christian? I think sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I, we may take it for granted. The disciples were called Christians first and then. But now look at 1 Peter 4, because the Bible said, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. So I've got several things, and I could go on. I'll not probably use all of the ones that I'd like to suggest to you. But number one, if you are a Christian, it means that you have been saved from your past sins. In Luke 19, verse number 10, Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save those which are lost. You and I recognize the fact that in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 27, the Bible says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You and I recognize from Ephesians 1 verse number 7, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Or we read Titus chapter number 2, and the Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. Now here's the rest of it. That He might do what? That He might redeem us unto Himself and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. When you and I obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we're baptized for the remission of our sins, ladies and gentlemen, we come up out of that watery grave of baptism. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red, they shall be like crimson. That you can take every sin that you have ever committed, and when you have repented and confessed the name of Christ and have been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, you and I come up out of that watery grave saved. That's what the Bible teaches us. In Romans chapter number 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, the dead to sin, living no longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. We ask the question, what does it mean to be saved? It means, ladies and gentlemen, that our past sins have been remitted. In Romans chapter number 6, the Bible says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, you are the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became a servant of righteousness. Look at what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We recognize from 1 John 1 verse 7 that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from our sin. If I quit tonight, right now, if I said we're not going to have it, I mean, the sermon is complete, ladies and gentlemen. What you and I must recognize is that what does it mean to be a Christian? It simply means that you and I have been saved from our past sins. Let me give you a second thing. It means to be a Christian, it means that we have been crucified with Christ. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul said, I am dead, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Him, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. If you and I can recognize that we have been crucified with Christ, that Christ lives in us as a result of that, have you ever thought about crucifixion? You and I know what Jesus went through. You and I know that they spat on Him. They put the crown of thorns upon His head. We know that they beat Him almost unto death. Just within an inch of His life. And then they nailed Him to that cross. One of the most difficult things. It's easy, ladies and gentlemen, for us to have some kind of an emotional outward concept of crucifixion. There are those, I've heard of people who would even carry a cross. There are folks who wear a cross around their neck. I've known of those who take a cross and put it in their pocket and they'd say, you know what, anytime I'm tempted to do wrong, I put my hand in my pocket and I feel that cross and I remember what Christ has done for me. Now, David said, it isn't the cross that he hid in his heart, but that he said, the word of God have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. David said, it is the word of God that is the lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. But now you consider for a few minutes, what does it mean to be crucified? Well, if you're hanging on a cross, you can only look in one direction. That's it. A crucified man cannot look back. Paul said in Philippians chapter number 3, Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, he said, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and looking forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm forgetting the past. There are many people who live in the past. It is just amazing. You talk to folks and their mind, all they can remember, oh, Brother Acuff, I remember this. They live in the past. They remember the wrongs which they did, forgetting that they've been buried with the Lord in baptism and the blood of Jesus has washed them from their sins and they've been resurrected to walk in a new life. A crucified man can only look in one direction. Now watch this, because in the book of James, James says that an unstable man, and he used it, well, let me use the word that James says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. What are you talking about, James? He goes on to say that if a man looks into a mirror and forgets what manner of man he was, this man cannot be blessed in his deeds. He's simply saying that a man, he looks and he forgets what he is, a double-minded man. He is trying to look in different directions. When I first started preaching, I have a chart sermon. I've got it packed away up here in the attic of this church building. Someday maybe I ought to get it out. There's not much to that sermon in the sense that the chart sermon isn't flamboyant because I did it myself. And I'm not an artist. But I had this road from earth and I had heaven, from earth to heaven. And then as I put in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 5 through 10, where the Bible says to add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. But then I had all of these roads going off the side of that. And how that many times Christians, they start on the road that goes to heaven. They're planning to get there. They've obeyed the gospel. And yet, as they go along, they find themselves pulled to the world on this side. They find themselves pulled towards selfishness. They find themselves pulled toward other things, and as a result of that, they go off into all these directions rather than staying on the road that leads to heaven. A crucified man can look only in one direction. That's forward. Not only that, but a crucified man doesn't hang on to anything. If a man is crucified, ladies and gentlemen, everything that any of us in this assembly tonight have, it belongs to God. It's not mine. You see, I have this idea that look what I've been able to accumulate in life. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I recognize, the Bible says the cows on a thousand hills belong to Him. It's not mine. I get paid as a result of your generosity. I get paid every week. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't make any difference because everything I have, if I have been crucified with Christ, I can only look in one direction, and the crucified man. Have you ever seen a man on the cross when you see these pictures? If you see the thief on the cross or our Lord Jesus, what are they holding in their hands? Not anything. And so you and I, we recognize that as a crucified individual, a crucified man looks in only one direction, a crucified man holds on to nothing. A crucified man cannot look back. So as a result, we simply mention this, folks, that if you and I tonight are Christians as we ought to be, we've been crucified with Christ. Let me give you a third thing tonight. As a crucified man, as a man who is a Christian, as an individual who has obeyed the gospel of Christ, we have put on the whole armor of God. Folks, listen. We live in a different world tonight. Sometimes there is it's easy to become discouraged. Aren't your spirits let down just a little bit? When there is a ruling from a federal judge that says no, that gay marriage is okay? You kind of sit back and say, you see that even though all of the states have passed legislation that has said, that marriage is between a man and a woman, and then the federal courts come back and say, no, that's not right. Now then, but you and I as God's children, the Bible says that we need to put on the whole. Now watch this, because in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now watch this. And in the power of His might. See, when I trust in Larry Acuff, then I get discouraged. See, but when you know the word omnipotence simply means all powerful. Omni meaning all, and potent meaning powerful. And so when you and I look at this, and Paul said, finally, my brethren, you be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So now as a result of that, what do I do? Do I sit back and say, well, there's nothing for me to do? Absolutely not. See, because then he said, when he said, be strong in the power of His might, then he said, you put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but now listen to this, but against principalities, against the spiritual darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, we're not in the hand-to-hand combat. We're in combat with spiritual wickedness in high places. And ladies and gentlemen, the only way that we can overcome that is by recognizing the power of God and then following His instruction by going to battle. And you see, here's where God makes up the difference. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit. Have your loins girt about with truth. Having on have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And take the shield of faith wherewith you shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the sword of the Spirit. You know what he says? You take and do what you can, and I will make up the difference. That's what it means to be a Christian. Hebrews 13:5. He said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. He said, I'll be with you all. Matthew 28:20, I'll be with you always, even in the end of the world. Hebrews 13:5, he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Paul said in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So what does God expect me to do? As one of His warriors, then I take His Word of God, the gospel of peace, the message of the Bible, the shield of faith. And I go forth to battle. You and I can win the battle by staying firm with the Word of God. You and I can win the battle by having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so, ladies and gentlemen, yes, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but when they were talking about that going before the fence, if I'd have made a note somewhere, I'd have written it down. I know what he's going to rule. You see, because, ladies and gentlemen, what we find in our world, in our society today, see, homosexuality, it's not that they're asking us to let them do what they want to do. That's not what the problem is. Folks have been homosexuals for thousands of years. If you don't believe it, go back to Leviticus chapter 18. The Bible says that it is an abomination unto the Lord. So you go all the way back. See, that's not the point. They not only want to engage in those activities, but they want you to accept it as being normal. See, it's just an alternative lifestyle. And so it's not saying, hey, you know, you let us do what we want to do. They've been doing that for years. But what they're saying now is, we want you to accept it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I will accept it when God does. And so when you and I are fighting against the world, whatever it may be, I just use that in the illustration, we can come up with several. The Bible says that as a child of God, what does it mean to be a Christian? I put on that whole armor of God. And I'm marching because God, listen folks, God and us make a majority. God and His people. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, don't lose heart. I love it. I love to study the Old Testament. And then my favorite, and I'm not going to go into it because I've already done it enough, Barak, when Deborah was judge, and they went to fight Sisera and his army, and they had those chariots of iron. You remember that? And God let it rain, bogged them down. God will control the situation in His way and in His time. Now let me remind you of what I have always reminded us about prayer. We have the promise of prayer. But let me remind us of it. You can get your songbooks. We're going to sing an invitation song in just about a minute. God always answers prayer. Late, leisurely, and limited. Late. Many times He'll wait till the very last minute. Leisurely and limited, because He leaves it up to Larry Acuff to do what Larry Acuff can do. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means you're saved. It means, ladies and gentlemen, that you've been crucified. It means, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I have put on the whole armor of God. Now, if another three or four points. One, it means that we can go to heaven. It means that we have the privilege of prayer. It means, ladies and gentlemen, that we have a different relationship with God than those out in the world.